everybody. Welcome to Pep Talks. And we're live on Facebook for those of you who are joining us on Facebook. It's a tremendous day here in the San Fernando Valley. It's only about 90 and really temperate. It's the type of day where you walk around in the valley and you just go, oh God, I should have studied when I was younger. I would be in a really nice studio, a Hollywood studio, but I didn't study. And now I have to walk the streets of the valley to get to shit I don't want to do. But here we are, and we're with Steve Lally, my co-host. How are you today, Steve?
Great, Edward Pepitone. It's great to be here with you.
And we have a special guest today. We have another guest, comedian extraordinaire, stand-up comedian. She's been on a lot of TV stuff as well, including my favorite little sitcom, Modern Family. Please welcome Erica Rhodes.
Hi.
Hi, Erica. Thanks for joining us on Pep Talk.
Thanks for having me.
You're giving it such a female flavoring.
Oh, good. I'm glad that's the vibe you get from me.
Yes, definitely, yeah. Female. Mostly. No, I have that kind of nose. Like, it's a female vibe.
Yeah, very intuitive.
You have incredible street instinct, Eddie.
I'm all about the street. Like, if I wasn't from the streets, I would not know you're a woman. But because people who lead sheltered lives would be like, what are you?
Yeah, what are you? Define yourself.
Are you a street person?
Not as much as you, but I'm close enough to the curb.
How do you define a street person?
You're looking at two of them.
You go
right now. That's...
Well, I was born in Brooklyn.
Oh yeah, that's enough.
And you're just on the street a lot, and there's always danger.
Yeah.
At least back then. Now Brooklyn is all.
Do you have street smarts?
Do you, Eddie? Do you have street smarts?
Yes. Yeah. I am very cautious. Like, you know, what you learn from being in New York or any major city, I would think, is you're just like always kind of, you know, looking out for danger. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I don't know about this this guy coming toward me. And then you realize it's your father. And then you know you have to cross the other side.
Yeah, you have to cross.
That was you. I think if you have to fight your way out of somewhere, you know, if you have to at any time in your life worry that you might get your ass kicked.
Yeah.
You know, in school or at the playground or wherever you're going. That's
I had that a couple of times, and I'm not a fighter. Yeah, I'm really not a fighter at all. And there were a couple of times where it was gonna go down, and I always would weasel out of it.
How did you do that?
Well, a lot through humor. I mean, like comedians do. Mm-hmm. You know, I would be like, "Hey, guys, before you kick the shit out of me, what is the deal with raisins?" What is the deal with raisins? That's a crazy fruit, isn't it?
So he was a really bad comic at the beginning.
Yeah, it was like a really
at the beginning,
hacky,
he was
really
a
hacky
really
premise.
Hey, I had it.
But he was clean.
I had to be hacky.
The raisin material.
You don't
was
get
clean.
Good until you fail. Now let me say this again to you, Facebook Live, and people who are listening to this the next day. You don't get good until you fail. Yes, I was hacky at the beginning. Yes, I was doing stuff like, hey, cheese is nuts. I love that whole kind of Jerry Seinfeld.
You were Seinfeldian. That's
well, no, I never did. I'm fucking riffing right now. This is a riff podcast. By the way, if you're wondering, last week we entitled the podcast "The Podcast with No Center."
Yeah.
Because this, Erica, we were trying to brief Erica on what the podcast is about, and Erica was like, "I like the podcasts that have
a theme."
Yeah.
Well, I thought maybe I'd get a pep talk on it because it's called.
Oh, it's the op. It's a. It's,
you will. I mean,
yeah.
I'm already giving a pep talk about you have to fail before you're good.
But do you have to fail with premises about raisins?
No, you could fail with anything. You know that. Any good. You know that, right?
You know, what is with raisins?
Yeah.
You know,
what's the deal with raisins?
Who likes raisins? Let's really
I
have
like
a conversation.
Raisins.
You do?
Uh-huh. I do.
They're so bad.
Oh, see? You see?
Mean?
There's edgy controversy in fucking raisins. You didn't know.
This week on Pep Talks Raisins, we blow the lid off the raisin industry.
Controversy.
Why are the boxes so small for
that? Now, this really is a bad sign.
You're showing. Also, that's an age thing. They're not in those little boxes anymore.
And they're
come
all
in
stuck like, together.
Not really. They're in these bags and shit now.
I never liked raisins.
No, me neither.
I feel the same way about raisins as I do about Disneyland.
Oh, I don't like Disneyland.
I don't like
either.
Disneyland.
We're on the same page there. We're not on the same page with raisins. Yeah, Disneyland, tell me why. Because I know a bunch of people who, and you would think they're intelligent people, and you would think they wouldn't like Disneyland. Like, I feel like anybody who is intelligent wouldn't like Disneyland, but they're like, oh, well, the kids like it. You know, it's people with kids go there.
But no, people without kids is what really confuses
that's
me.
Wait a minute. Grown people love Disney.
Yes.
Grown people.
They go in groups.
Obsessively, in a way, they worship Disney. I know them. And some of them are nice, but... You know who else hated Disney? It was Charles Bukowski. He was the original Disney hater.
I couldn't imagine Bukowski liking Disney. That's almost like saying, you know who else hated Disney? Samuel Beckett.
But he had good criticism of it. He hated Mickey Mouse.
No, but what was funny was that you said... You revealed that fact as if it was interesting.
Surprise. Because he had a surprise.
Like, right. I'll tell you who didn't like Disney.
Fuck.
I'll tell you who didn't like Disney. Jean-Paul Sartre. Albert Camus. Albert Camus did
he
not
probably
like
didn't like Disney.
No, but like, here's what Disney is about for Americans and maybe non-Americans too, is that there has been an infantilization of people in this country. Like, people stay...
Infantile.
They stay kids. Look at me. Like, even me. I mean, I know I shouldn't exclude myself. Like, everybody now, like, I'm a 59-year-old man who dresses in T-shirts with sayings on them. Read this. Read what my T-shirt says.
Dogs make me happy.
You, not so much.
Did you...
What's going on?
That's a good shirt, though.
You know what?
You are like a Disney character if it didn't have a safe
space. My wife
space.
Gets me these shirts. I am like a Disney character?
If it didn't have a safe space. If it didn't have a protected environment.
Now, that would be a great modern-day Disneyland. Like, Disneyland is bullshit because America is crumbling. Erica is a big proponent.
Anyone right for it.
I'm just drawing,
This is
Erica.
The longest he ever waited to go for that, by the way, because of you.
Oh, yeah.
This is the longest he ever waited to go for
it. I know. I don't want to draw Erica. But anyway, America is falling apart. It's just a horrible... You know, look, even in Hollywood, we could talk seriously about this. It's so fucked up. I was in Hollywood yesterday. Not to brag, I have that kind of lifestyle. I was by the ArcLight. By the way, I saw a great film, 2001: Space Odyssey, which was done in 1968. It's a 50-year celebration of it at the ArcLight. The original print remastered by Christopher Nolan, and it was amazing. But the premiere. No, there was a premiere for Sharp Objects. Have you heard of this new show?
Yeah.
So this ArcLight Hollywood is this big movie theater, really fancy, nice. And so they have a lot of premieres there. And so they're having this premiere and everybody's showing up, you know, really nicely dressed, a lot of money. And right next to them are these homeless dudes. And this is what I talk about with America, and particularly California, Los Angeles. So many homeless people all over. Have you seen just tents?
Yeah.
All over. It's crazy.
Hasn't
what
it
kind
always
of country?
Been like that, though?
What part
Hasn't
of town? No,
always...
no. What
no?
part of town? What part of town
no.
do you live in? What part of town do you live
I'm
in?
I'm near Hollywood, too.
Okay, so if you go to
no,
Venice.
No, it's never. It's not, no, not been this bad.
Venice Boulevard, it's all campers and tents.
No, it's gotten worse. Venice Boulevard. Worse. You know. Worse.
Yeah.
How long have you been here?
Yeah.
10 years.
You haven't noticed it's gotten worse?
Really? Well, I keep moving further and further east.
Oh, okay.
So I
because
feel like...
rents are going up, right?
Yeah.
Or do you just like going eastward?
I just like going towards the sun. I'm moving towards the sun.
I hate the sun out here.
The end of the
day.
Yeah,
no, I do too, actually. I don't know why I keep moving east. That's just is what happens.
Wait a minute. But the sun is in the west at the end of the day.
Oh, you that's
could
right.
Be, you could be.
I only move.
You keep moving away from it.
What are you talking about?
It rises in the east. No, just the sun
What the fuck? That's like a Chauncey Gardner moment. I live with my head facing the north. I sleep with my head facing the north. And the guy
I just like the idea of moving towards
like
the sun.
I like to watch.
Follow the sun, the Beatles song, you know.
Yeah. Rubber Soul is a great album.
Yeah.
Speaking of Disney.
Disney. What do you pronounce it like some kind of Three Stooges character, Disney, or a cartoon
Disney.
Character?
Disney, yeah.
It's Disney.
Put an extra
Why are you putting me down for my correct my grammar?
Disney?
Disney.
That's not grammar. It's
no,
just
it's
a pronunciation.
Disney.
Pronunciation.
It's Disney. Yeah, it's not grammar. Thank you, Erica.
Disney.
Thank you for...
Disney, Disney.
I know when slang's about grammar, believe me.
By the way, nuclear.
By the way, folks, we have some great sponsors on this show.
Oh, and, nice segue there.
Yeah. And
that was a really flawless.
And speaking of America,
it's
we
always
have
like that.
Yeah.
It's always, yeah.
Speaking of America, we have a new sponsor, and I and Steve is a big proponent of these, and they just hopped on board. They're JanSport backpacks, and it's a new sponsor. So I would just like to read our first ad. Hey, you remember when America was great? JanSport sure does. MAGA line of backpacks brings a return of the traditional school days with high security backpacks. What backpacks were like in the good old days before the 80s turned everyone into fruits. These hardened diamond, steel plate, and depleted uranium backpacks are just as traditional Americana as apple pie. Sure, the trim of the backpack may be electrified and the zipper pulls are made from razor wire, but it's still the same JanSport style you love. The main pocket is spacious enough to hold the average fifth grader with enough water and Lunchables for a full school week. The front pocket unzips from the inside to allow a 135-degree view portal with an acrylic window thick enough to stop a cannonball. JanSport's patented extreme cool system recycles air using your child's own excrement as fuel. JanSport MAGA backpacks also carry a self-destructing explosive device for when the shit gets real. JanSport. Because this is our world now.
Thank you, JanSport. And and by the way, Erica, look what Erica's doing. See, these are the kind of people we need on our podcast. She's taking pictures
social
for
media
social
pictures.
Media to help us promote.
Do you know Instagram stories?
Yes.
That's what I
do
was.
I know
do,
you know? Do I know Instagram stories? What am I?
That's what
59?
What am I, 59? Of course I know Instagram stories. You know what? I really haven't had any desire to do Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook lately. You ever go through those periods, Erica?
Yes,
talk about that for
Facebook
a little bit.
Facebook is not interesting to me anymore.
What happened?
It got really old.
Why?
Because this is Facebook Live.
Wait, we're not at All Things Considered.
Yes.
Oh, we are. Okay, good.
All Things Comedy.
Yeah, all things
look what's
comedy.
Behind you. Look
no,
what's
this
behind
says
you.
All Things Considered.
All Things Considered. No, All Things Comedy.
No, I thought you told her that as a practical joke. I thought
no,
you
No, I don't know how to delete this now. I don't know how to delete.
See, we need someone who knows what they're
oh,
doing.
Oh, did you say
we need
I'm
someone
at
who wait, knows what they're doing here?
Wait.
No, but look at the look
okay,
right
I'll
over
do
your,
another one.
Your left shoulder over there.
I
yeah,
have to do
but anyway,
one.
I think yeah. I think that we need to find our real calling in this country. We need
anyway.
To stand up. We need to stand up to the powers to be. And I saw a great movie last night, 2001 Space Odyssey, 70mm print. You wanted to see it, but you bailed. Steve was in my car, and he was like, oh, I got to go to physical therapy. Now tell me, what do you do?
Not an important thing at all. I should have been with you.
By the way, why don't you tell everybody you got a cortisone shot today?
I got a cortisone.
Steve is on steroids.
I got a cortisone shot, and Eddie's got a colonoscopy coming up. Did I pronounce that right?
Yes, you did.
Okay, thank you, Eddie.
Yes, I'm getting a colonoscopy done Friday, and as luck would have it, I'm getting it done at Disney, or Disney.
Disney?
Really?
Disneyland.
Yeah,
I'm
getting
it. There's a doctor there?
Yes, Goofy. Goofy does.
I'm really gullible, so in my head I'm like, maybe he did a job there.
Haven't you seen the gloves on him?
Boston.
Oh, I wouldn't think you're
no, me
gullible people come from Boston. And
my mom's from Minnesota.
Oh, that's
that's what
where
I hear.
It comes from, yeah.
Yeah.
Remember what you
they're
said?
They're a little gullible up in No, they're not.
Well,
they're not gullible in Minnesota. That's real hard country. That's like the weather. No, the
oh,
weather.
Oh, yeah, the weather is
cornfields.
But they're
and,
so nice.
That's right. Yeah.
Remember what
and
you
New York
wholesome.
Is not like New Yorkers are nice, but you have to earn it.
Yeah. Same with Boston.
Boston like
they're more
it.
Introverted, you know.
Yeah.
More cerebral.
New Yorkers don't take Minnesota people, seriously. Remember the Minnesota Twins hat?
No one does.
The Minnesota Twins hat? You go, what the fuck are you voting? How? What? That's like cheering for a banana.
Well, they're a terrible team.
Well, yeah,
the Twins.
But they've won a World Series.
And the Yankees killed them all the time. They won one World Series.
Well, that's more than Tampa Bay won.
Boston has good teams, I hear.
Boston might beat you guys this year. You never know.
We've got the sports.
Here we go. You know, it's a great thing to take away from poverty and the military-industrial complex when you can talk about Boston Yankees. I have a metaphor. Boston Yankees, Red
versus,
Sox.
Versus, okay.
You know, like Democrats, not... Democrats and Republicans are like Yankees, Red Sox. The fucking fans hate each other, but the teams, the players don't hate each other. Sometimes the Red Sox play for the fucking Yankees. Sometimes the Yankees play for the fucking Red Sox. Mm-hmm. And Trump is like, he's not a Yankee or a Red Sox. He's like the drunk fan who got out on the field and he's running around with his shirt off and everybody's pissed off because the game can't fucking start until security catches him.
That's a really long analogy.
It's a good one, though.
Yeah, it is good. I was wondering if you thought of that ahead of time or you were figuring out as...
But it was perfect because you got...
Imagine if he kept going and we're both we're trying to follow the analogy going, you're right about...
And then the ref comes out and the ref is like Hillary, but that she doesn't know what's going on. And then they disqualify her, but then the ball goes out of court and then now they don't know what to do. And
that's why I ended it when I ended it. I knew there was some commentary coming from you guys.
Everybody's eating hot dogs.
Yeah, it's true. So, Erica, you do a bunch of stand-up. You do a bunch of stand-up, right?
Yes.
Steve does stand-up, and I'm like out there a lot.
Yeah.
You know, in L.A. mostly, because I do the Comedy Store now.
Do you not do as much road stuff?
Not as much, you know, as I had been. I'm just not getting booked as much as I'd like, you know.
There's a lot of comics who are established comics who are seeking people to book them. Established comics are having a lot of trouble finding paying gigs.
Mm. Well, on the road. I mean, I don't like to do a lot of road, so I like to stay in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
But we were talking before we went on, and not to brag, folks, that we have... I don't know what your lives are like. I know they're not good. I know they're
if
not
If you're
good.
Listening to this, it can't possibly be that great.
The truth is in the laughter.
That means if you're, because that means you're in front of your computer, you know, at
home. On a Wednesday.
At 4:30.
4:30. I don't know if that's the best time to go live.
Yeah.
Well, that's 4:30 here, but 7:30 on the...
Some people might be at their jobs they hate and they're...
Oh, that's true.
You know what I mean?
They would have to listen to it on headphones, right? And
they're pretending to work, but they're on...
They're in their little cubicles going... What? Oh, yeah, I'll get the... I got to look. I always have to find the camera. What, Bob? I'm doing a bit now where the person watching pep talks and listening to it with headphones is at their cubicle, and then their boss talks to them. What? No, I'll have the Timpson file as soon as I get it. What am I listening to? I'm listening to the primer on our law, on the law, maritime law. Why am I doing this with my hand? Why am I doing this with my hand? Because I'm part dog. I'm part dog. I was raised by wolves, and this is me. I never told you I was raised by wolves.
Eddie had to do that kind of shit back when he had jobs.
I thought maybe you were a pianist. You have,
Eddie. I didn't know how much longer that was going to go on for. Right?
Well, I like doing that.
You
type
do
of stuff.
Good act outs.
Act outs. See, now that's someone
that's
who knows stand out.
Is an act out.
I like the way you completely, which it is a comedy term, but you completely started laughing at yourself for knowing that because you just don't take it seriously. Like, act out. That's something that we do. Right? But you're like, because we were talking before and we're kind of over show business. What is that?
That's my phone. Sorry, guys.
You dick.
I forgot to make it silent.
What a specific ringtone.
Because I had, you know what happened? I had doctors calling me today and stuff.
Fucking turn it off.
I'm going to turn it off.
Go, turn it off. My God. But, I mean, we're both over show business. Steve would like to get in it.
Oh.
Go fuck yourself. No, I mean, the guy leaves his cell phone on? What kind of people am I here with?
I know. How unprofessional is your co-host?
Jesus Christ. I'm sorry about that.
He also didn't seem at all he didn't seem at all embarrassed by it.
I know.
He was just like, yeah, that's my phone. That's my ringtone.
Yes.
And someone's calling me.
I would have been like, I would have taken my life the way the Japanese do.
Yeah.
You know, they have that shame.
Harry Carey
was a great announcer.
Who was also an announcer for the Chicago fucking Cubs.
I don't know how that relates to the Japanese, but Harry Carey was a great announcer for the Cubs. Bill Murray, SNL used to do. SNL sucks. We all know that. I just want to say that. But they would do that. Was it Bill Murray who did Harry Carey?
I don't know who did Harry Carey. I don't know.
Steve is a Cub fan. No, you don't like sports.
I just don't get into it, but... it's not that I don't.
You're very no politically. You you're very
tennis.
Like, look, I don't want to offend.
She did mention when we were talking about baseball. She mentioned the ball going out of the court. So I knew there was a.
That was the one thing I hoped would happen when I was a kid was that I would catch a ball. You know, when I went to the game, I thought maybe I'll catch the ball, and that's all I could think about. And then one time it came close, and I thought I was going to die, and I freaked out because if it does go, it's
right.
really scary.
Right.
But that's all I thought about. I didn't pay attention to the game.
Go ahead, Ed.
Yes.
No, I wanted to ask Erica, because you don't like sports. Like, what do you love? Do you love movies? Do you love skating?
Yeah, I love old
movies. Do you
movies.
Love skating?
I like old movies. I'm
old
like an
movies.
Old school person.
Ooh,
I like old,
old
school
movies.
Stuff. I like old music.
Oh, nice.
Old.
Oh.
I'm
oh,
like
yeah.
old fashioned, you know?
What are your favorite old movies?
Yeah.
Do you have a, like,
Umbrellas of Cherbourg.
Whoa.
With
that's
Catherine
some shit
Deneuve.
I never even heard of.
Have you heard of that movie?
Yes.
Where she's
yes, Steve
it's the
hasn't.
Sad,
Steve
most
isn't
romantic,
well read.
Saddest movie where she's
Umbrellas
like,
of Cherbourg with Catherine Deneuve.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Catherine
it's
Deneuve.
It's a musical, and she's like da da da.
Oh, it's a musical.
Da,
mm, that might be a deal.
Wait, no, you'll like it.
Really?
Yeah, it's like it's not a musical. Musical. It's like a dismal, sad, depressing romantic.
Oh, I like dismal, sad, depressing.
Yeah, you'll love it.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I like when people are broken in the course of a 2-hour
That's
event.
What this is. This is, you know, this is serious. But it's
who's
but
the
they're
co-stars
singing.
And what
I don't
year?
Remember the guy. It's Catherine Deneuve. I don't remember the
you
guy.
You keep saying
name.
Her name.
I know, because I love her. And
you
she's
love
the
her.
Only name I know in the movie.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't remember the
no,
name.
No, but good. Thanks for that recommendation.
Yeah,
that's some
that's
obscure
like my
stuff.
Favorite I'm, movie of all time.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very
interesting. So Umbrellas of Cherbourg, it's a great recommendation from Erica. And Steve, I'm going to have you read a second ad.
Okay, that's a great time for it.
Yeah, great time.
Obscure foreign
hey,
films.
Hey, listen, these sponsors, you know, they support us, and we have to – this one is for an old favorite – face bags.
Oh, face bags. Eddie, you got your face bag, didn't you? Do you have your face bag?
Yeah, well, complimentary.
Okay.
Go ahead.
You know here at Pep Talks we get a lot of luxury brands as sponsors. We are men who live lives of a certain quality. Furthermore, people expect only the best from those like us who live that Hollywood celebrity lifestyle. This lifestyle extends to the women in our lives who deserve to be bathed in affluence and rewarded for surviving the struggle that comes from fame. Face bags are a symbol of that achieved luxury. Premier fine leather goods that are ethically sourced and mindful of their carbon footprint. Face bags are more than just animal faces scraped off mid-death shriek and roughly quilted together while the leather is wet. They're a symbol of success. Mm-hmm. The butchered faces of the endlessly screeching dead stitched together in a fun summer clutch. Or one of our playful shoulder bags say... Mm-hmm. I'm young, I'm fun, and these eyes aren't smoky. It's just if I close them, I hear screams. Face bags now available at Nordstrom.
Now, Erica, would you mind reading that? I just want to hear your take on this.
Why aren't we friends on Facebook, Eddie?
We're not?
Uh-oh.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
Eddie.
I don't know. I
do you know
that.
James?
She's not on Facebook. You're not on Facebook anymore.
James who?
I'm not pronouncing Mogavaro. Mogavaro?
Yes. Yes, I do. I do know
he's
James.
Watching right now.
Oh, hello, wow. James.
Yeah,
thank you,
says,
James.
Hi, James.
He says, give him a kiss for me.
Aw. Here, read. You do the Facebook.
Aw.
Just like read it like an ad.
Wait,
though.
Am I reading?
Have you done commercials?
Yes.
Okay.
I just got rejected by a voiceover agent. So.
Oh, see, that's why so we're both over show business,
that's,
by the way.
That's a deep connection right there.
I mean, I had to read deep so connection. Many of these things, and then I got rejected, and I was like...
Well, let's see how you do, because...
Tell me if you'll reject me, too.
God. Now, you heard it, right? Did you listen when
yeah,
Steve
he read it like a storybook, right?
Yeah, it wasn't that good. Like why don't you...
Face bags.
Here we are.
You know, here at Pep Talks, we get a lot of luxury brands as sponsors. We are men who live lives of a certain quality. Furthermore, people expect only the best from those like us who live that Hollywood celebrity lifestyle. This lifestyle extends to the women in our lives who deserve to be bathed in influence and rewarded for surviving the struggle that comes from fame. Face bags are a symbol of that achieved luxury. Premium fine leather goods that ethically sourced, this is a really long ad, and mindful of their carbon footprint. Face bags are more than just animal faces scraped off mid-death shriek and roughly quilted together while the leather is wet. They are a symbol of success. The butchered faces of the endlessly screeching dead stitched together in a fun summer clutch, or one of our playful shoulder bags says, I'm young, fun, and these eyes aren't smoky. It's just if I close them, I hear screams. Face bags, now available at Nordstrom.
That was great. Did you hear how she
fucking
did that?
Terrible. She flubbed a bunch of words.
No, she changed words. Yeah.
She changed affluence to influence.
She all
totally
right,
fucked it up.
But I felt like she had more of the tone of what we need.
I mean, I felt like I was like making a choice.
You would make a great.
You know?
Yes.
Like I was
he
making
should be
a
the
choice.
Casting director.
She was making a choice.
Maybe it wasn't the right choice. Probably not.
No, I thought it was good. It was like face bags.
Face bags. Like
anyway, they're
coming
they're
to
a great sponsor.
Theater near you.
They're a great sponsor. So what other movies? What other movies?
I love Being There with Peter Sellers.
Oh, we were just talking
that's
about
my favorite.
That.
You were? That's yeah, like one of my favorite all-time movies.
Me too.
We had a Being There moment out there. I don't remember what it was, but I said a Chauncey Gardner moment, didn't we? Didn't we have a Chauncey Gardner moment?
I think it was
can anybody
in here,
remember
but...
that?
I don't remember that moment.
Peter Sellers, did you
He's
ever
so
see
brilliant.
He's so brilliant, but did you see the Jeffrey Rush documentary? It was an HBO. Did
yeah,
you see
HBO
it?
Movie. I saw
what
it.
What was it called again?
The Life and Death of Peter Sellers.
All right,
or
you don't
like?
Have to be that precise or
was it
concise.
That or was it that?
I don't know, but Jeffrey Rush, if you ever get a chance,
he's
another
great.
Recommendation: Umbrellas of Cherbourg.
Cherbourg.
From of what?
Cherbourg.
Hey, Cherbourg.
It's Cherbourg. French. It's
blah.
Cherbourg.
Umbrellas of Cherbourg. But that's a great one, according to Erica. And I'm going to check it out. And then Peter Sellers, the documentary, not a documentary.
It was an HBO movie about
it's an
the
HBO
life
movie about the life of Peter Sellers. Jeffrey Rush plays him.
He's such a good
job.
Actor, too.
But being there, you know, in that movie, he burned all of the, it showed he burned all of the memorabilia from his other movies when he got Being There. He's,
oh,
you know,
really?
All his other movies.
Why? Because he felt like they weren't
they
as
were
good?
Nothing compared to Being There. They were.
Wow.
I mean, Doctor Strangelove is great. There's a lot of great ones, but
Kubrick,
being there,
Kubrick, we're talking about Kubrick.
Yeah, but
again.
Being There is the greatest comedy ever made. There's not even a close second.
Oh, I think the best comedy ever made is not Being There.
Young
and
Frankenstein.
I'll tell you what it is. Young Frankenstein is number two for me.
Oh, what's
number
one? What's
for
one?
You?
Number one is The In-Laws, starring Alan Arkin and Peter Falk. The In-Laws, number one movie comedy.
It's great, but
ever you never saw it?
I don't think
well,
so.
Well, now you have something, and it's an
I'll write
old
it
movie.
Down. In-laws.
It's an old movie.
In-laws.
Yeah. You'll watch it and you'll realize it's not better than Being There. But it's great.
I loved Fish Called Wanda.
I love
too.
Being There. Fish
like
Called Wanda was great too because like, I love
it's more
John, Cleese, Michael Pat. Well, I'm a big Python fan. You know what I really want to get is the collected DVD of Python, but I think they want something crazy money-wise, like to get all the
oh,
Monty
really?
Python on DVD.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, like with commentary and stuff, I would love that Python. Like
yeah,
I love
Python.
They're like one of my biggest influences.
The Life of Brian.
Life of Brian is great, but I mean, the Holy Grail made me laugh for so many years.
Did you ever watch Fawlty Towers?
Yes.
That I grew up watching that as a kid.
Yeah.
It was like my favorite.
Fawlty Towers is so funny. Me and my
so
wife
funny.
Watch it like every year.
Oh, yeah.
At least once a year we watch. Fawlty Towers?
Love it.
I remember watching it as Monty a kid Python. Laughing hysterically alone. Like I was just watching
That's
alone and
right.
couldn't contain myself. It was so funny.
And Terry Gilliam came out of there, didn't Terry Gilliam? Wasn't
Python.
He involved with the...
He was the animator. What do you mean? He was
but
the
he
animator.
Ended up having this great career of these. I made Brazil and all these great movies that he made.
Brazil was What did he do? He did Brazil, Baron von Munchausen. Yeah. He did, well, Time Bandits.
Time Bandits
was a huge one. Great. You ever watch?
I didn't see that.
Oh, that's fucking great. That's
really?
A great movie.
You have to see Time Bandits. Is great.
Okay, I'll write that down
and
too.
And there's a short before Time Bandits that's awesome.
Oh, I haven't seen that. What is that?
I forget, but it's about an insurance company at an insurance building that transforms into like a pirate ship, like the building transforms into a pirate ship. I forget what, but it's always in front of Time Bandits. What are some of your other favorite older movies?
I mean, as a kid, I watched a lot of like silent movies. You know, I watched Charlie Chaplin stuff and then Lucille Ball, like I Love Lucy. Like, you know, my mom always.
Lucy wasn't silent.
No, I know.
Lucy was like, Rick.
It's all in black and white.
It's black and white. Black was and the white. Same thing.
Black and white, silent.
Oh, I see.
But what about
Chaplin? Yeah, I love Chaplin.
Did you like Carol Burnett? Were you a Carol Burnett show fan?
You know, I didn't discover Carol Burnett till later in life.
Okay,
but yeah, I do like it now. Okay, but yeah,
because that
as a
was
kid,
my,
I watched all the other stuff.
Yeah, that was my childhood. Was Harvey Korman.
Harvey Korman and Tim
Korman and Tim
Conway.
Man. Oh. And Vicki Lawrence, too, was funny in that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a great fucking... And they can't do a variety show anymore. They tried to do a variety show. They tried to... Like, the networks can't do a modern-day variety show. A couple
really?
Have failed.
Not really.
Yeah, a couple have failed, yeah.
That's interesting.
Well, that's because...
Like, the way Burnett... You know, the way the Carol Burnett show was.
That's
and I'm not sure. It's a different time. Things are meaner now. Everything is meaner.
Well, yeah, that's one thing. That's why, like...
Mean. It's not, comedy cruelty.
Not to plug it, but the fact that I have a variety show that's a live show is...
Oh!
I'm trying.
Oh, not to plug
you know,
it.
No, but you know what? That was perfect. See, she could help you segue because this was good.
That was shameless, seamless.
Seamless and shameless at
beautiful.
The same time.
Seamless and shameless. That should be the name of your show.
Seamless and shameless.
Your podcast.
No, but tell us about your variety show.
No, I was just saying that what I was trying to bring back with my variety show was sort of a wholesome quality. Was
oh, that's
sort of
cool.
Like a more like a good.
Well, you have that quality. You're very like nice.
Thanks.
Know.
I think. Yeah. I mean, it's not
no,
always.
It's nice.
Yeah, it's not
great.
Always appreciated. Anymore, so I feel like you know. Yeah, I feel like sometimes that's refreshing to have a vibe that like is more wholesome and I try to bring you know I
it
try to have a yeah just like a more supportive like nice
right.
vibe about it. Not
I think people are ready
mean.
For that.
Yeah, that's what I feel like. It's different, you know.
Yeah.
I have music, and then
do
I
you
music
come
and-
on like going. Hey, everybody. Let's start with the song. Do you sing?
I think sometimes I sing along with... We had like a... It's called the Nightlight Comedy Show. We had a
Nightlight Comedy
song.
Show. Tell us when it is.
It's the last Monday of every month.
The last Monday?
I might be skipping the next one, but
of every
it'll
month.
Be in August, the last Monday. Yeah.
Okay.
I would love to have you on sometime.
Yeah, I'll definitely do it, of course. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Steve
at
does
where?
Stand up too.
At the
oh,
open
yeah,
space.
Both of you.
Open space.
Open
right?
space, yeah.
Open space. Yeah. Yeah, I've done a bunch of stuff there.
Yeah, it's a nice That's, little theater.
Yeah,
you
it's
know?
In the back of the coffee shop, right?
Yeah.
Right.
I've done a lot of stuff with Anna David there. On I think she does every one Friday a month.
Okay.
It's a good show. But yeah, I like that space. It's a good
yeah.
stage, and when
the
it's
the sound
full,
is good.
You've been getting good audiences.
Yeah, I was sold out the last one.
When you've got air conditioning. When
yeah,
the air
last,
is working.
Yeah, the air conditioning wasn't working, but that will be fixed.
Right. Or you're not doing it, because that's bullshit.
Yeah, no, you can't laugh.
You have to have air conditioning
people
here in
will
LA.
Not laugh if it's too hot.
That's
they will
true.
Not.
You know what my toughest gig was?
Oh, yeah, tell us.
It was outdoors in the Gobi Desert. No, it was about 130, 140 degrees.
And you're fucking what? Around.
What
Are you serious?
Event?
I am
you're fucking,
fucking
around.
Around.
I knew
Imagine
you were,
that,
too.
Like I get booked
you
in
believed
the,
it! See, I did believe
Minnesota!
That.
Minnesota
do.
Fucking believed
I
it.
Do
Chicago
believe
knew
it.
You were bullshitting. Minnesota believed it. That was
well,
good.
Well, I know there are lots of
it was
gigs that are rough like
in
that.
The Gobi Desert. In the Gobi Desert. I hope they,
Hello, folks.
I hope they paid your transportation.
Hey, and this is what I do in the Gobi.
They gave,
in the Gobi Desert. Like, folks, the heat can go fuck itself here, huh? What the hell is this? I mean... I'm sorry, but an outdoor show in the Gobi Desert at 4:30. Who watches shit at 4:30? I have a podcast back in the States.
Did they ship you to the show like on a barge on like a tanker?
We are going.
And he's.
We are going to the Gobi Desert.
Eddie gets there and he speaks a different language.
No, I'm just laughing at that. I'm having trouble booking gigs, and it would be funny if my agent was like, Eddie, baby, I got your Gobi Desert. Three nights. It's $30 a night, not much, but they're putting you up. And a little in a yurt. They're putting you up in a yurt. There's no AC in the yurt, but
what the fuck is a yurt? It sounds good.
It's like a tent, right?
There you see.
I can't believe he doesn't know what a yurt is.
I mean,
should.
He's claiming to be so worldly and everything. He has never heard of a yurt.
Was I claiming to?
Yeah,
I was
pretending
to be
super.
I like that Erica gives you shit.
Disney. You shouldn't.
Good for
Disney.
You, Erica. I'm glad you give him shit. Now, I want to. Now we have, as you know, folks. Every week.
Segue.
Every week, I ask people to call in. And leave a comment, a voicemail, something about the show, or just anything you want to talk about with Pep Talks. Oh, we just got a new one, too. We just got another call. So we have two calls this week.
Oh, shit.
I'm going to play the first one. Erica, as our guest, can also respond. Actually, this is directed toward me.
Yeah, this
but,
is just
anyway,
for you.
Anyway, I want you to hear the first one. Here we go.
I use my phone so infrequently that when I try to call this number, I first inputted the numbers into my calculator app. That's beside the point. I guess I was calling because I'd like to get in touch with my inner Margaret, and I was wondering, at what age did you find that sweet, sullen, feminine voice inside yourself? Thank you. I'll take my answer off the air.
I love that he said, I'll take my answer off the air because it's just
voice. He said up here, he said. I don't know.
No, he said, I'll take my answer off the air.
Oh.
And he said, okay, so the question was to me, how do I find my inner Margaret? I do these characters, Al and Margaret. They're a married couple, I believe, from Massachusetts, somewhere in the Northeast. And I'm like, always like, Al, what, Margaret? Al, where is your heart medication? I put it behind the soy milk, and they're just a crazy couple. I don't know if you – don't tell me you lost my heart medication. Al, I'm trying to keep track of your heart medication. And by the way, last night's lovemaking session was brutal on your part. Hey, Margaret, don't criticize my lovemaking when I – well, whatever. So
– which one was the woman?
Boy, you are a stickler. I'll tell you, Erica, ever since she got rejected by this voice.
Oh, this she doesn't fuck agent, around, man.
She's like, oh, really? You're going to reject?
She has.
Well, I'm going to fucking reject everybody I know.
She has training on her resume. I saw the training on her resume. She knows her shit.
I know. No, it's true. That is part of the funniness of it, is that Al and Margaret
are the same voice.
It's like schizophrenia. Do you know that one of my fans in Portland, not to brag, I have fans all over the Northwest. And he said that I should do a one-man show, just Al and Margaret, like the two of them. And maybe, you ever see those shows like Victor Victoria, where you have one half?
Oh, yeah.
Woman, and I just like do one of these things.
Oh, wow.
Al, what, Margaret? Al, are we one person? God damn you, Margaret. How could you make... Well, it's just that we sound so similar. We don't sound similar. You're a woman. I know I'm a woman, but listen to it. What are you talking about, Margaret? I'm talking about the fact that we sound very...
Did you?
Was this what you did on the podcast before I was here?
Yes. I did a lot of that. And people miss it. Our numbers are down since you joined.
But we have more callers.
Well, we never had call-ins.
Did you answer his question?
No, yet? I'm going to answer the question. And thank you for that. He didn't leave his name. He was very funny, though. He said, when did I find that sweet, sullen, feminine voice? And, you know, sir, and I'm glad you're taking this off the air.
That Erica couldn't differentiate. Yeah, which sweet, sullen.
The sweet, sullen one.
That Erica couldn't tell.
When did I find it?
Still looking.
I found it when I accepted myself and realized that there was a sweet, sullen woman living inside of me. And that's what you have to do.
That was really moving.
I think I found it during a game of handball, not racquetball, which is played by people who don't have the courage. In Brooklyn, we used to play handball, just our bare hand.
No glove?
You could wear a glove. The real tough guys, though, didn't wear a glove.
Calloused hands.
Yeah. So anyway, that's when I found it, playing handball in Brooklyn. So thank you very much. And now here's another call-in. Just came in. Here we go. All right, let's see what this is. This could be anything. Oh. Let's see if it's not going to play.
Hey, Eddie, this is Jess. Yeah, I'm just wondering what you think of the movie First Reform, if you've seen it. Kind of hits on a lot of the topics that you talk about. All right, thanks.
Are these guys okay? They sound so depressed.
Well, you don't know. Wait. I have to answer
that. No, Jeff just called in, and I did not see that movie. I've heard a lot about it. I don't even know.
I don't even know anything.
Jeff, I'm so sorry, but I've heard about this movie. This is the Ethan Hawke movie, I believe. Have you heard about it?
No.
But I do want to see that First Reform. Thank you for that recommendation and reminding me. There are so many movies
that I want to make a comment about the caller so Eric understands.
Well, can I answer Jeff's question? Yeah. I haven't seen it, but I do want to see it, and I've heard it's really good. And especially since you said it hits on a lot of things that I talk about, then I definitely want to see it. But go ahead.
These callers are much more articulate than they were when we first started. We get women calling in just going,
really?
Oh, wow.
Well, I mean, I don't know if that was literally. It's getting better.
Okay.
It's getting better.
Their tone sounds a little bit down. Well, that's all.
There's a lot of melancholy people who need other melancholy people to listen to.
They need people. Some of the luckiest people in the world. By the way, I saw Don Rickles in Vegas for his 80th birthday, and opening for him was Larry King's wife, who it was so great. It was in Vegas, and she sang all that schmaltzy,
like show
sentimental
tunes,
shit,
yeah.
Like people. And there were
Don
pictures
Rickles.
Of Larry and the kids as she was singing this. And
who's
was
his
like,
wife?
I forget.
Oh.
His wife is Catherine Deneuve.
Are you making this up, or
I'm
did this really
it up.
Happen? See,
No, I didn't fall for that. No, Catherine Deneuve, I'm making
yeah,
up.
No,
but that
but
was a real
no,
thing.
No, the concert was real. Yeah.
Yeah, before Don Rickles, Larry King's wife. Now, we have a couple of more ads. I'm going to read one. This is Home Pharma.
Okay.
And then we're going to give it to you to read again. And, you know, because Erica's looking for voiceover work, as we all are.
Voiceover representation.
Yeah.
And she said you read it like story.
I'm not looking for any voiceover representation at all.
This was very natural, though. Mine was a little forced. That was.
Well, you made a choice.
Yeah, that's. Thank you. Thank
we
you.
All have to make choices, especially in America in these
moral
days.
Moral choices.
So, Home Pharma. These days, you can get a monthly subscription for everything from wine to pet toys, movie memorabilia to groceries. Home Farmer is the first at-home monthly subscription delivery service for pharmaceuticals. Home Pharma is a co-op of local homebrew pharmaceutical
pharmaceutical. You said Home
two.
Farmer.
Home. That's my New York thing. What do I say?
Home Pharma. You said farmer. Disney.
I said farmer.
You said
Home Pharma is a co-op of local homebrew pharmaceutical mom and pop shops and a fun mix of dark web Iranian and Chinese drug manufacturers. Each box contains a month's supply of a random assortment of unlabeled and possibly expired or rejected medications, or what we like to call a potpourri of possibilities. You can get anything when you open up a Home Pharma kit. Penny Saver, which is a great publication, Penny Saver, great people over there. Penny Saver says, quote, I grew tits on my back. Why did I even test this? I knew it was going to be bad. So there's a pretty nice recommendation. And Parade Magazine exclaims, quote, thanks to Home Pharma, I can only see colors in the ultraviolet spectrum and all my dreams end in blood. Stick it to Big Pharma.
Did it again.
Stick it to Big Pharma. Support small pharma with the convenience of monthly home delivery. Home Pharma. pop some pills. Now we're going to let Erica read it. They're a great company.
Just because you flubbed a couple words, that was still beautiful.
The was way it
you
good?
Read wow, that. He let's got see, a good
you,
review.
What do you think?
I thought it was really good.
It was really
like,
good.
This is going to be though. Hard to top.
Let's see yours.
Home Pharma.
Oh, wait, no. She.
What?
Isn't she going to read
am I doing the same
the
one?
Next commercial?
Same, no, no, same
oh,
one.
Same
okay.
one.
I want to hear the
Home
difference.
Pharma. These days, you can get a monthly subscription for everything from wine to pet toys, movie memorabilia to groceries. I'm going for a more natural version. Home Pharma.
Don't comment. Now that's not cool. That's not cool. Like Dory.
Oh, she added, she worked the criticism yeah, into yeah. her. Wow, that's real. That's real voiceover
Dory,
artist
Dory,
work
the,
right
the commercial to go, I'm going for a natural look. Go ahead.
It's very, what's the word?
What is the word?
The word is home farmer.
What's it
home
called,
farmer,
what's it called
ladies?
When you comment on your act while you're doing your act?
Meta.
Meta, thank you. Home Pharma Meta. Home Pharma is the first at... God, this is boring. This one's boring, huh?
Oh.
Sorry. Okay.
Sorry.
Matt Rossimoto, by
hey,
the way.
By the way, hey, these are all
written by Matt Rossimoto.
These are all written by our producer, Matt Rossimoto.
Who brought Erica on the podcast, as a matter of fact.
I'm very sorry. This is well written. Okay. Home Pharma is a first-at-home monthly subscription delivery service for pharmaceuticals. Home Pharma is a co-op of local homebrew pharmaceutical mom and dad pop shops. And a fun mix of dark web, Iranian, and Chinese drug manufacturers.
Do that paragraph again, because okay. you fucked oh it up.
God, all right, well.
Gonna, we're losing viewers right now.
Home Pharma is a co-op of local homebrew pharmaceutical mom and dad pop shops and a fun mix of dark web.
You're never going to get through this. This is going to be
like, and dad
this
pop, is gonna... mom and dad pop shops. Home Pharma is a co-op of local homebrew pharmaceutical mom and dad pop shops and a fun mix of dark web Iranian and Chinese drug manufacturers. Each box contains a month's supply of a random assortment of unlabeled and possibly expired or rejected medications, or what we like to call a potpourri of possibilities. Oh, I winked, but they,
really
you know.
I really like that.
Penny Saver says, I grew tits on my back. Why did I even test this? I knew it was going to be bad. Parade Magazine exclaims, thanks to Home Pharma, I can only see colors in the ultraviolet spectrum and all my dreams end in blood. Stick it to Big Pharma. Support Small Pharma with the convenience of monthly home delivery. Home Pharma, pop some pills.
I liked it.
That was
good.
Yeah.
Good. You got better
as
you went along.
I got better as I went. It was yeah, yeah. it was a lot of words.
Yeah. Steve is going to read the last
yeah,
one.
Yeah, a lot of words.
Sweet but comical.
Yeah, I would have rejected myself on that one,
I think
too.
That was a Disney
well,
Disney kind of humor that you had going on there with your
yeah.
Have sweet. You ever been to Disney? Now, why do you hate Disneyland? I forgot this thread.
I
why
just don't like mass consumption.
Yeah.
You know, oh. I don't believe in like get... I feel like you're being brainwashed into, you know, needing things, buying things, wanting
true,
things.
Right?
And then also, what is... It's a bunch of... It's supposed to be for kids, and I get that, but like, I don't understand adults
you ever
going.
Get sick in a mall?
Yes.
I get sick in
oh, I can't
I get
do,
panic
I can't.
Attacks.
I get anxiety every time.
Yeah, I get.
Oh,
I get.
Oh,
what
you
about
guys
in
too.
The mall?
I get anxiety attacks.
What about
too.
At the Beverly Center Mall parking lot? That
yes.
alone oh. is enough of a fucking.
I can't do the parking lot.
Me neither.
As soon
parking
as you
garage.
Get confided into this, like
yeah,
yeah.
Box,
what if you get lost
that's
trying to get your car?
The whole point of a mall, they want to trap you.
Oh,
you're trapped
they do.
Into buying things. You're being brainwashed.
And there's something about the lighting that's so horrifically harsh.
Yeah, it's awful.
But
I hate
so
malls.
Disney is like an outdoor mall
Disney,
for children.
Not Disney.
Whatever it's called. What the fuck?
Yes,
they know what I'm talking about. It's an outdoor mall for children, basically, with overpriced French fries and little Jiffy Pops and
everybody's obese.
And
yeah,
you know, I think the animation,
what a sick culture,
the
we
cartoon
live in.
Animation,
the consumer
thing.
Culture, and it keeps people infantilized. Like I was
yeah.
talking about. Going to Disney because when you're a kid is when you buy the most shit. So like you just said, consumerism is about this fake need instilled in people, like, I need this, I need that, I need this, I need that, I need this.
Yeah.
But you're not like that, and I'm not like
that. I'm a little like that.
No, I'm not.
I'm not like that at all.
That's why I get overwhelmed, because I feel like myself becoming it in a mall or a situation like that, where it's like, I suddenly I need all these
things. But you must like to buy some stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, I sometimes buy clothes and stuff, but I prefer it just going to one shop thing.
Oh, she's like a guy. That's what guys do.
Yeah, I'm kind of like a guy.
Guys do that.
I don't like
shopping.
You know
what you want. You go and get it and leave. You don't wander around going, these eight things will make my life
better. You think more women are becoming like you, like that?
No, most women I know like shopping more than I
do. They
do. Yeah. I just don't like it.
Mm. Even though there is part of me that likes to go, maybe it's that sweet, sullen female thing, where I like sometimes when I'm in Ralph's and I'm going through the aisles and I hear the soft music playing, and I'm like,
Well, it'd be a great
look
segment.
Look at these Lay's, these potato chips. This is funny. Like, these potato chips, they're kettle cooked. And these are baked, and baked is supposed to be better for you. Oh, God, we need dishwashing liquid, but it's got to be environmentally safe.
Can you do that voice for that pharmaceutical ad?
That would work.
Wouldn't that work?
Would it?
That voice would be really good. Buy the pill.
By the way, the pharma's getting some serious fucking airtime on our show, man. They better pitch us some extra money.
Okay, we have one more ad. Thanks, everybody, to listening to a podcast. Thanks, Erica.
Yeah, thank you,
for
Erica.
Thanks for having me.
This one is from Zippy Ice, and we'll see how Steve does.
Wait a minute. Didn't I just read this?
Yeah.
I just read this. You fucking
you did Zippy Ice. Sorry. I'm sorry. We have one more, and it's from... did we do them all? We did four.
Did we?
Sorry.
We read a couple of them twice or three
times. We did
times.
Facebags, we did Zippy Ice, Home Pharma, and JanSport.
Yeah, we did them all.
We did all our
We did all our
And
heads.
We took our phone calls. So we'll wrap up with Erica Rhodes and Steve Lally. Any partying? No, here's a segment we play every week. It's called
Did you see something funny? Sorry, you go.
You see something funny on the street? Have you seen anything funny? That's our segment we play every
week. Yeah, that's funny. I just saw something like that.
What's that? We haven't seen anything funny yet since we started this segment.
Oh, really?
What did you see? And again, this week I didn't see anything funny.
Well, this isn't so funny as I was just like,
unusual.
I was just like really curious. It was like two teenager boys they looked like almost twins. They were on the street of Hollywood Boulevard while I was driving somewhere today. And they were just in this embrace. They were hugging, but I couldn't tell the nature of the hug. So fascinated by it because they were young boys. You know, boys I don't feel like are that, like, tactile.
Right.
And, you know, they looked kind of, like, boyish. They didn't look, like, too flamboyant or anything. So I couldn't tell if, maybe they were a couple or maybe they were brothers or maybe they were friends. But I was so fascinated because this hug just kept going.
Wow.
They were just hugging and then hugging.
That could mean something bad, like they're hugging each other in comfort because they just
something
had a tragedy.
Bad happened? Yeah, maybe.
Or it's just a tremendous family.
Tourists, you know, they were definitely
tourists.
Were they?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, locals don't hug like that.
No.
West Hollywood?
I was so fascinated because I was like, I couldn't tell the emotion behind the hug. Like, it just, and it was going on. Funny. I was at a light and they were just continuously hugging.
Were they rubbing each other?
Kind of rubbing a little bit, but that's it didn't look like sexual. It just looked like...
No, there's a certain amount of rubbing that takes place during the hug. That's perfectly
It was an endless hug. It just kept going and going and going.
Impressive. And by the way, how impressive is it that we have been playing this segment...
and we never
I think this is the fourth week. We have never seen anything funny on the street. And I say... 2 seconds in, and Erica has this incredible
observation. I don't know if it was
observation.
Funny, though. It was not
That's
really
true.
Funny.
And
no, but it's
it
good.
Something that
it's
we haven't
It's good,
had.
And it is kind of funny to see.
It is kind of funny to see teenage boys who you don't expect to be, you know, in an embrace for that long.
How old were these kids?
They were probably like 16.
Mm-hmm. I never hugged another boy like
Yeah,
that.
Like
I did.
When's the last time you guys went on like a 20-minute hug?
Me and Steve, we go on hugs sometimes.
I try to hug Eddie, and he pushes me away.
All aboard for the hugs!
He's pushing.
All aboard! You too, you getting aboard for the hugs? You look like you could use one. We're here for the hugs.
When's the last time you had a hug?
You could sell those after your shows. What? You could say, I don't have t-shirts, I don't have albums, but I'll
come here,
get your hug on.
Get your hug on.
Your hug on.
That is funny. I just want to say that I'm performing a couple of show dates. For me, well, if you ever want to see me here in L.A., I'm at the Comedy Store. Just go on their website. I'm there tonight. I'm there Saturday night, June 30th would be Saturday night, and today is June 27th. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Just go see me at the Comedy Store. And then I'm going to be in Austin, Texas for the Altercation Comedy Festival, September 27th, and then in Amsterdam. No, Amsterdam first. Ooh, I'm going to go to Amsterdam.
Fun.
August, I think the shows are 8, 9, and 10, but go to Toomlers, Toomlers. I'm going to be in Toomlers in Amsterdam, the Netherlands, for 3 nights over there, the American Festival. And that's my gig. Steve, you're going to be at the Ice House, right?
Yeah, but first I'm going to be in the Gobi Desert. I'm going to be at the Gobi Desert Comedy Festival.
Gobi Desert. That's a hot show.
Yeah. It's big. They're getting me over there. Ice House tonight. I'm going to be at the East Hollywood Comedy Spot, if you want to know where that is. Go on comedybureau.com and
Ice House
8
when?
O'clock. Ice House, I'm closing the show 10 p.m. on Friday night in the main showroom.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, it's my first time being the closer at the Ice House. So
and Erica, how about you? Did you want to promote anything?
I'm at Comedy Magic Club on Friday at 8.
Oh, nice. In Hermosa Beach?
Yes.
Cool. I haven't done that place in a long time.
Oh, it's fun. I love that
it's
club.
It's a great club.
I used to do Ian Bagg's show there.
Oh, yeah. He's there a lot.
Mm-hmm. It's so far from me in the valley.
I know.
Yeah. Anything else you want to promo?
I don't think so.
Twitter? Are you on Twitter?
Yeah, at Erica Rhodes on Twitter.
At Erica Rhodes on Twitter. I'm at Eddie Pepitone on Twitter. Steve is...
At Lolly Comedy. Lolli.
Anything else you want to promo?
I have shows, but I don't. They're all weird, small shows next week, so I don't know what they are.
Okay.
You have to.
But your variety show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My variety show is the Nightlight Comedy Show, and it's the last Monday of every month. And then I usually put some shows on my site, ericarhodescomedy.com.
At the Open Space, right on Fairfax, by Cantor's.
Yes.
Okay. Cool. And thanks everybody for watching.
Yes.
And listening to Pep Talks, as the case may be. Thanks to our producer Matt Rasamoto. Who writes those commercials.
Brilliant.
And thanks
to Emma, our in-house
engineer. And we will see you next time on Pep Talks.